This is Paul Levy here, the editor of Fringe Review and author of the book The Filthy Guide to the Edinburgh Fringe. And I'm recording this little broadcast just 1 month before Edinburgh Fringe begins. And I'm actually sitting here in our office in Brighton, so if you hear seagulls in the background, you'll find us a couple of months after Brighton Fringe, one of the other large arts festivals in the world. And we're looking ahead to the world's biggest arts festival, as you are if you're listening to this and you're performing a show. And this is a checklist of things to have ready with about 4 weeks to go. The first thing is probably the obvious one, which is about publicity. Now, you may well have sent your press releases to the media and the press, and that can be anything from the national newspapers right to reviewing websites and smaller publications. And it still isn't too late to be sending a press release now and also a little bit later in the month too. And if you haven't had a reply, it's not rude to be sending a last-minute press release actually in the Fringe itself. I would say the key thing now is that everybody is grounding in real plans. And though some of the newspapers may well have already fixed their schedules and so might not have any flexibility, there still are occasional cancellations and there still are people from the media active on Twitter, for example, and other social media, but particularly I'd say Twitter. And so what I would suggest is that your press releases now start to pare down to nothing more than a page on an email. Don't put anything more than is going to be absolutely essential for people to read as their schedules are really, really busy. Certainly, I've mentioned this so many times, start to take out, if they're in there, all the superlatives, all the unbelievable words of amazing and groundbreaking, and particularly with words like groundbreaking, unless you can really back them up with evidence if you really are doing something genuinely new. But all the superlatives and the exaggeration will do you no favours at all. It's really important to let people know if it's a brand new show or a brand new company, if you do have any provenance, because otherwise you're just an unknown. And it could be the interest in your show's theme that might get someone along. But where you can talk about any previous reviews, and that doesn't even need to be necessarily the production itself, but it could be your company, it could be somebody in your cast or a director that has done well elsewhere, that just gives you the backup and the credibility that might just get the reviewer's head turning or you get you some coverage. Where there is a story around your show, then share that story, any kind of news that's a bit different. But don't be desperate, don't be pleading. You can absolutely follow up on a previous email and just refer the reviewer or the press member to something you say, I wrote to you a couple of months ago and I'm just checking in to see if you receive that or here's some more news. But don't be pushy. You can certainly be enthusiastic. So overall, the first part of the checklist, which is the one that's least surprising, is to continue your publicity. I would suggest reword, relaunch. Imagine you're starting again if you've had no reply and keep things short. Do not be attaching, you know, 50 gigabyte movies or massive images. Keep those to a minimum. People are very worried about clicking on things in this age of being hacked. So where you can embed those within the email, people will write back to you asking for more detailed images if they want to. We find that links to Dropboxes and so on, unless you're a really established group and have already got a kind of trusting relationship with us, are not things we're easily going to click on. So what are the one or two images that are going to be critical? You can certainly link across to YouTube, to showreels, to trailers, to good images. I would suggest that you certainly don't link through to anything that looks homemade unless that's for a very good reason. This needs to be professional. This needs to be clear. So that's the publicity. A second one is that you're going to be arriving in a city, and if you haven't been there before, but even if you have, look at just some basics around you. You should be getting your flyers done now. And last year we had at least a dozen companies that when we asked for a flyer, they said their flyers hadn't arrived and were seeking a little bit of sympathy. But that's not what you want to be seeking at the Fringe. So get those sorted as soon as possible. And similarly, have your social media strategy ready. You're probably well aware on some of the social media platforms, the one we use is Hootsuite, and I'm not advertising it, but it does let us schedule tweets well in advance. So we have a number of basic general tweets that are already sorted for certain times and days, and then we obviously adapt in real time as we go along as well. So have a social media strategy ready. Also have your flyering strategy. If you're at a venue you've not played at before, get that map online, print one out, and start to work out where might be good places to drop flyers. Local cafes, for example, are a really good thing to do, particularly outside of the very centre, but even in the centre of Edinburgh, there are neighbourhoods. And though people may be sick of getting flyers through their door, if you particularly are doing a special offer, if local people can get access to your show perhaps a bit more cheaply and demonstrate a bit of loyalty by living nearby, then have a strategy for where you're going to flyer and who you're going to speak to. It's not good to be sticking things in people's doors, but you can certainly get around the local cafe culture, bump into people if they look interested. Two-for-one offers are very good offers, really, because things are expensive in Edinburgh. So once again, whatever you're going to do in terms of how we're going to reach people, it's not just the Royal Mile in Edinburgh. And wherever you're staying and also where you're performing, get to know the local neighbourhood if you can. You can do that online. You can do that even with Google Maps, where you can start going up streets virtually and saying, oh, look, there's a shop there. Oh, it's got some posters in the window. I noticed last year quite a few groups spent a bit of time doing that research and it paid off for them. So all the things about flyering and about the geography of the city itself. And that's about looking after you as well, looking for reviews of local places to eat, local places to shop, and making sure that you don't just live on really crap food, but you live on healthy food as well. And you can obviously save money if you do your shop in advance as well. So it's all about looking after yourself too. A third one about hitting the ground running and thinking about now is simply to have your get-in plan sorted. Be absolutely clear that when you arrive, you're not in a panic, where you're going to store stuff, where you're going to and how you're going to transport stuff, and having budgets sorted out and having plan Bs for things going wrong. And all of those things are worth thinking about so that you've got things to fall back into. The danger is that you arrive in Edinburgh during that week zero or at some other point. And in the 1 or 2 days, you should really just have landed by hitting the ground running and you're ready. You're in a state of tiredness and stress and problem solving. And then, not surprisingly, your first shows, and at the start might be preview shows, are not the best ones because you've burnt out, you don't have the right energy, and things are going wrong that you should have planned for. Now, this all sounds a bit intense and serious. And the fourth thing is also about reminding yourself why you're coming to Edinburgh in the first place, what your goals are. And certainly people that are just too intense and too stressed and too worried don't do well either. This is the world's biggest arts festival. We're very privileged and lucky to be doing stuff like this. So you need to enjoy yourself too and have plans for relaxing, have plans for when you're going to breathe out. Some people find out where the local gym is or the local swimming pool or the local yoga class, and there can be some very good offers in Edinburgh for people that just want to do a temporary membership. Equally, there are the parks, and there are buses down to a very interesting and different seaside to what we've got here in Brighton. It can be very stirring and a place to get away from it all too. Find out where the green space is. Find out where a good walk would be. The danger of just going up Arthur's Seat, which could be lovely, that big hill above Edinburgh, that precipice, is that everyone else is doing it at the same time. So where you might get away, it can be good. And there's some nice little parks in Edinburgh, of course, as well as the very, very big ones. But that's about how you're going to look after yourself, how you're going to create space, putting in time with your cast, with your team, to always have breakfast together if you can, either where you're staying or a local cafe nearby, and just to kind of ground yourself before you all head off for the day, and also a place to relax in the evening as well. That's about thinking about where you're staying, particularly if there's a lot of you in one place. You can start to talk now about what those ground rules might be, rather than stumbling upon a load of irritation and conflict. How do we want to live together? How do we want to work together? And that's key too. Equal to that too is the danger of spending the whole month or the weeks you're there on your mobile phone. And I think you need to have a strategy for your digital, for your technology. And I know other people that just go online 3 or 4 times a day to check in on Twitter. It doesn't have to be in your hand every few minutes, even every few seconds. And think about that too. The last one, I'm sure there are many, many more too, is just to remind yourself about the work that you're doing. And I know this can be an obvious thing, but have you really done enough rehearsal? Is the play 5 minutes too long? Is the piece technically going to do well in a pop-up venue, having, you know, played previously in something a bit more permanent? Be aware of stuff, and I've mentioned this many times before, like venues that have a lot of noise bleed. Find that stuff out and do your homework, and be aware of how your performance might need to change to really shine in a place that may not be technically as good as you've been used to. And that's just the reality about the Fringe. There are lecture theatres that have been turned into spaces. There are tents that you perform in. And there are hotels that have been adapted and have kind of very thin boarding as walls. Be aware of carpets that muffle the sound. I don't want to put you off, but to make sure that your show artistically works, you need to adapt yourself to the Edinburgh Fringe, where people also have shorter attention spans. So just get back into that rehearsal schedule. If you haven't, block it really well. Find out from your venues where those entrances and exits are and how the audience are going to come in and sit down and what might be going on next door. But have that sorted too. This is a month before the Fringe, the world's biggest arts festival. And all of these things, if you get them right, going to give you a more satisfying and enjoyable Fringe, as well as your show having better chance of success. Good luck.